Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of GTF, Gabriel Talks Football. My name is Aldo Gandia. I want to tell you that we've got two football programs for you. Today at 7 p.m., it'll be the Willis Twin Towers, and they've got their special guest, Taylor Dahl, who's a huge, huge Bears fan, works over at Windy City Gridirons podcast. And before that, weekend sports betting tips. So if you like to place a bet on some of the weekend's action, you should check out Johnny Santucci and his crew at 6 p.m. And, of course, we have this show with this gentleman named Greg Gabriel. Greg, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Where'd you get that Ryan Poles shirt?
I made it. Ryan Poles built is what it says.
Let's see if we can
get a look at it. So this has been sort of my theme after the draft is that rebuilding is never really actually done because you're always making changes for the next season. But this team is as built as I've seen a Chicago Bears team since 2018. What do you think?
Yeah, there's still one or two players short, which is interesting because, you know, Brad Biggs is usually right on top of things.
Yeah.
So last week, both on the same day, which makes this, and I tweeted about it, so it makes it interesting. Biggs writes, yep, they need another edge. Doubt it will be Ngakoue. The same day, a different writer for the Tribune, Dan Wiederer, mm-hmm. is on the score and said the Bears have been talking to Ngakoue about bringing him back. So you had that's what I think was so interesting is the two beat writers from the Tribune mm-hmm. both had opposite takes on the same player. Then I talked to another guy, and he said, no, they're talking. And what's interesting is then earlier this week, Ngakoue had put out a tweet or a post on X that said, ready to rush. Last year, he did that exact same tweet, same wording and everything, 4 days before he signed with the Bears.
Wow.
Or so it might have been 5 days.
Yeah. So there's hope he's going to come back. Could you see him signing a two-year contract with the Bears? Because he really wants security. I mean, he would love 3-4 years. He's not going to get that, I think. But can you see a two-year contract?
No, 1 year.
Why just one?
Well, they drafted Austin Booker. This is going to be a developmental year. He'll play in the rotation. He's got to get bigger and stronger, but he's got a lot of upside. Mm-hmm. So, he'll play, you know, like the two rookie defensive tackles did last year and, you know, probably less than 50% of the downs. But as the season goes on, get more, and you're going to see him mostly as mostly as a designated pass rusher because that's his forte. But you still need somebody to play the other downs, and you can play Walker over there on some rundowns too, and then use Ngakoue both, you know, on any given three down set. And then this guy is a designated pass rusher. So then could they use another defensive tackle? Maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, the name I keep seeing people on Bears fans on Twitter is, what the hell's the guy's name? He played for Baltimore, played for Atlanta last year, was originally drafted in the first round by Arizona.
Jadavian Clowney.
This guy's like 6'8", 300 pounds. He's 30. He'll be 38 in September. That's a long shot, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, He's too old.
He's Khalil Campbell?
Yes. He's, excuse me, going to be 38 in August or September. He isn't really an edge. He's an inside player. What he is a five technique and a 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really a fit. So, I mean, where do people come up with this stuff? First of all, how often does Poles sign a guy that I don't know? He did sign the tight end last year, mainly because he knew Getsy, knew the offense. He was a pure Y, but he wasn't playing more than 10 snaps a game.
Right.
And they were getting him for, just over the minimum. Callaway's going to cost a lot more than that. And he's going to want to play more than 8-10 snaps a game too. But I just don't see him as a fit. When you look at his style of play, could he move inside and play defensive tackle in this scheme? Yeah, he could. But now, when you're doing that, you're screwing up the development of the two rookies from last year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it appears like the Bears are either in or very quickly approaching that period where they are balancing the needs to win now, because this team looks like it can contend for a playoff spot, but also developing the young talent that you've gotten. And that's been the Bears' philosophy since day one when Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus had their first joint press conference. They talked about playing rookies and developing rookies. Poles said one of the things I like about Ryan is that he's not afraid to play rookies and so forth. So, now fans are going to be discussing that whole thing when we're 5-3. Why are we playing that rookie? Why don't we put a veteran in there? It's a very tricky time in that development process when you're turning from a team that was developing to a developed team that is now contending.
No, there's no question, but their philosophy all along is we're not afraid to play rookies. We're not afraid, so they're going to do that. They're going to do that with Austin Booker. I just don't see him being a factor on 1st and 10. I can see him this year being more of a designated pass rusher. And then when you look at the guard they got in the third round, or tackle they got in the third round, Emegadeji. Did I say that right?
I think you nailed it.
He's got to earn a job first. Mm-hmm. As we said last week, I can see Tev is going into his contract year, and durability has been his issue. And now, when he's on, his play is really good. Somebody's going to want to pay him a lot of money next spring.
Yes.
Is one of those people Ryan Poles?
Yeah.
And he's not Ryan Poles' guy.
Right.
So I can see that after this year, either Braxton Jones or Emegadeji is playing left guard.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, and the thing about we're getting phonetic pronunciations on Amagaji. Omega. See, but I hear it also Omega G. Omega. Omega G.
I'm just looking at the letters, man.
I hear you.
I'm doing it like, a second regular down at Amaga.
Swifty's in the house. He just came back from the dentist. His mouth is totally numb, and he wants to know about my T-shirt Ryan Poles built. But getting back to Tevin Jenkins, what's interesting about him as a player and a person is that it appears that he has done a lot of maturing, and that he's not the same player that walked into Hallis Hall, his first press conference when he was drafted by Ryan Pace. I mean, he sounded like a young Tevin
Jenkins, right?
What did I say?
You said,
Tevin Jenkins is who I meant. And so he's matured so much, and he sounds like he's really ready to take that next step in his NFL career, which is to be a leader of the offensive line, to have more of a locker leadership role. But the thing is, as you say, is he can't stay healthy.
He hasn't played a full season yet in his first 3 years.
Yeah.
So now, and you look at some of the contracts that the guards have gotten this year in free agency. I mean, they're getting like close to tackle money. And there's no question he is a good player. So, but it's, I think it's pass blocking can be a little suspect at times.
There you are.
There. His pass blocking can be a little suspect at times, but his run blocking is dominant. But it, again, it's a health issue. But somebody could pay him $60 million, $55 million, something like that. And is Poles going to be the guy that wants to do that? That's my question mark. I mean, there's a couple guys that I can see on this team maybe not being here this year, definitely not being here next year. And the other guy is Khalil Herbert. And there's a, we talked about him last week, there's a free agent, undrafted free agent, and who's a hell of a returner, Ian Wheeler from Howard University. And he's a speedster, too. He's a 4.41 guy, 5'9 and a half, 205, catches the ball well, played in the running back rotation at Howard. But his big duty is as a return guy. He's got three returns for touchdowns, kickoff returns, not punt returns. And with this new kickoff rule, you need an explosive guy back there doing that. I can see him making it. And the problem, everybody likes Khalil Herbert, but he's got a one-dimensional game.
Yeah.
Got to be honest. He's not a pass blocker. And he's a big question mark as a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you throw the ball to him, and it's like, is he going to catch it?
Yeah. You know?
And so I can see them moving on from him, especially because it's his contract year. So right now, if you move him between now and the start of the season, you're going to get something for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, versus nothing in free agency. And then the other guy would be Larry Borum, who we've talked about a bunch. Larry Borum's either got a adjust his contract, or I can't see him being around at $3.2 million because he's a backup. And he can't back up, and that's one of the things that I like, we like about Amagadeji, and I'm going to keep pronouncing it wrong until whatever. He can play left tackle. That's what he is.
Yes.
Borum, if something happens to Braxton Jones, there's nobody who can really line up and play left tackle on this team. Borum can do it. He might be able to get you out of a game, but you're praying the whole time. You know, and he can play right tackle. But at $3.2 million, is that what you want to do? You want a guy getting that much money as a backup?
Yeah, I mean, at this point of this developing of the roster, they can afford to pay him that much money. So it's all about performance. He needs to come into camp and play at a high level. I've got three questions in queue.
Let's stay on that one just for a second, because now you're getting to a point where I'm not quite so sure they can afford him. And it's because of this. They got $22 million in cap space. But about 12 of that's going to be used on the rookie class because you have two first-round picks, including the first overall guy. So that's going to take up a chunk of change. Then, you know, let's say you sign an Ngakoue or another veteran edge. That's going to cost some money. So now you're dealing with probably $5 million in cash space. So you need $5 million just to get you through the season.
Yeah.
You know, so and there's contracts you can adjust. There's guys that you can, you know, do turn salary into bonus and create some cap space. But I honestly think that Borum, because of that 3.2 $2 million salary. And he earned it because he got that playing time the first 2 years, right, that he could be a casualty. And you might be able to get something for him. Not more than probably a seventh or a swap of a pick, but you might be able to get something.
Okay, regarding questions, I'm going to take one and then filter in some of the others as we go along in the show. So I've got questions from Tim, Levante, Scottish Bear, Badass, Warthog, and a number of others. Let me start with this one because we were talking about the offensive line. Nate Davis has a 3-year contract with two of them guaranteed. The Bears can save $9.6 million in 2025 if they release him. So that's his contract situation. And other people are asking, like Scottish Bear, so who's taking over from Davis next season, Greg? 2025. He can be cut with zero money owed. I'm more concerned with Davis than Jenkins. What are your concern levels with Davis?
I think we've hit on that about 3,000 times over the last couple of months.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the coaching staff, I know I am, they're all cutting Davis a pass off of last year.
Mm-hmm.
For people that may not be familiar with the situation, his mother was gravely ill. She wasn't here during the offseason. Was at camp. He wasn't at camp. Was at camp. He wasn't at camp. So everybody's going, what the hell's going on with this guy? And nobody's been. His mother was dying. And then she finally passed right before the season started. Obviously, somebody very close to Nate. That had an effect on his play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go back to when he played for Tennessee and why the Bears signed him in the first place. He was a pretty good player, and they gave him some pretty decent money. Now you also got the guy who was the assistant offensive line coach at Tennessee when he was there. He's here, so he knows him. So I don't see him as a casualty.
Okay,
because of the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
If there weren't those circumstances and he played the way he did, then yeah, that's a valid. I think it's a valid question. But I think given the circumstances, that you got to cut him some slack for last year. Now, in saying that, and again, I've said this 1,000 times, he still got to come out running and ready to go when the bell rings, and play the football that he's capable of playing with. But then, he's going to be there this year. In 25, you're going to worry about 25 and 25.
Right, right.
But Tev is going to cost a lot of money. Hey, I realize that I'm throwing a dart at the wall. I understand that. But I'm also looking at, they just got rid of Justin Fields. They got rid of Roquan Smith. They're getting rid of the guys that they didn't draft.
Right, right.
And they didn't draft Tev. They want their own guys. So, to me, that is it going to happen? Who the hell knows? Is it a possibility? I think it's a strong possibility.
Well, I'll tell you, the chat room is loaded with all sorts of, can we get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy, type questions. So I'll start with this one. Tim Willis says, Greg, do you see any scenario that the Bears keep Velus Jones? Please tell me that the experiment is over. Tim Willis, co-host of the Willis Twin Towers tonight on the Barroom Network. Go ahead.
He got drafted where he should have got drafted. I mean, that's the grade I had on him. He hasn't developed. He hasn't played up to expectations. So this will be the last year he gets a chance. It won't even be a year. He's got to produce a camp. Now, saying that, the offense didn't produce as the offense should have the last couple of years. Who got fired? The offensive coordinator. What has not happened with the receiving room, wide receiver room, over the last 2 years? No young guys developed. Mm-hmm. Not just Velus, none.
Yeah. Don't you think that Velus was a reach in the third round? Did you really have a third round grade on Velus Jones?
I had a third round grade on.
Oh, yeah.
And part of it was the speed, but you go back and you look at the Tennessee tape. He was a big playmaker, and he was a return guy. I didn't realize he was 25 years old at that point, but you know, the tape warranted being a third round pick. But to go back to where I was talking about, so the offense underachieved, the offensive coordinator's gone. The wide receivers as a group have underachieved and young guys have not developed. Guess who's gone? The wide receiver coach. So now you got a new coach coming in who's got a history of being able to develop young guys. So we're going to see between now and camp. I think my dog just came in.
Yeah, he sure did.
Between now and camp, we're going to find out if, in fact, he can, you know, he can play. And if the offensive coordinator and the wide receiver coach go thumbs down, he's not going to be here. It's real simple. You know, after drafting, getting Keenan Allen, drafting Odunze, that makes it easier because there's really two guys that have to develop. There's him and there's Scott from last year.
Right. People are wondering, is he on the bubble?
I don't think he's on the bubble yet. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, you have somebody to replace these guys.
Yeah, that's what a lot of us fans sometimes forget. Let's get rid of that guy. Let's get rid of that guy. Well, who are you going to bring in? You got just, if you're telling me this blank is meaning a name is available to replace Velus, then we're cooking with some gas here. We can make a comparison. But just to get rid of a guy who has had some tough times, the idea of bringing in these new coaches on the offense is to develop some of the talent that's been acquired. And so hopefully Tyler Scott and Velus Jones are two receivers that can be developed. And as Swifty said, those guys have, particularly Velus, have speed, which is something you can't coach up. You know,
both got big time speed.
Exactly. So that's important.
Not to keep like the other guys are slow. Mm-hmm. You know, Keenan Allen you can throw his time speed out the window. This is going back. Some people made him run. He was coming off an injury coming out of college, and he wasn't ready to run. He hadn't practiced. He hadn't trained for running. And so, we got to get a speed. We got to get a speed in order to rest here. So he runs, and he runs a 4.7. Well, you know, about 1,000 catches later, he's still playing.
Yeah.
there's no problem with his speed. He's not a 4.7. He's not a 4.4.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a 4.5 guy every day of the week. Mm-hmm. You know, just watch the play. Watch who he's playing against. You know, DJ Moore can run. He was a 4.41 coming out. Odunze was a 4.45. And I think he might even be faster than that because I was watching his 40s, and like his 10 and 20 are as good as the guys running 4.3s. And it seems like almost from 20 to 40, he was more coasting than really busting his ass.
Yeah.
But that's just the way I looked at that tape because I've seen it a bunch of times. Because then when you look like at his three cone, he did a 6.88 three cone, and he was pissed at that because he thought he could do in the 6.6s.
Gregor Stevens is asking, where is Velus' spot? He's not a kick returner because he fumbles. He's not a receiver. He can't catch. What's his spot?
Well, no, you're going to get – I think all the negatives are right now – going into the off-season program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that continues during the off-season program, hell, he might not make it to camp. You know, or if, you know, then if he does make it to camp, then he's got to produce in the preseason. Now, there's a good thing. We talked a little bit about it last week. But given the fact that we've got a rookie quarterback and he's going to play, having that extra game, preseason game, is huge.
I like it for this team, yes.
For this year, it's huge.
Yes.
And they've got to – and Waldron will be involved in that. I don't think the starters got enough reps in the preseason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I don't want to talk too much about Caleb because we're going to talk a lot about Caleb over the next few weeks. But how much practice time in terms of preseason games would you like to see Caleb play?
I don't know who she, my wife was talking. I thought she was talking to me. Oh, hold on a second.
She is talking to you. here's what I'm saying regarding Caleb. We want to see him get as many snaps as possible during the preseason, but at the same time, you don't want to overexpose him. You know, this is a 17-game regular season. He's clearly the number one quarterback. It appears – I saw a question earlier about bringing in a veteran backup. It doesn't look like the Bears are anxious to do that. It looks like they're going to go with Rippon as the starter, as the veteran backup, you know, for advice and for helping to implement the game plan and so forth, and that Tyson Bagent will be the – quarterback used in case of emergency, open glass. So Caleb Williams, that's to me is a huge question. Do we want to see him play the first series in the Hall of Fame game and then get a quarter and a half and then three quarters in the other three preseason games, as many teams do with their starting quarterback? What are your thoughts on Caleb Williams playing time in preseason?
I don't know if you're going to have to get three quarters, but there was somebody wrote an article the other day. It might have been Diggsy or somebody, but the amount of reps that Justin got last year, or since Flus has been here the last 2 years, and it hadn't been very many, you know, during the preseason. So, you know, I would think you're looking more at snaps than total. You know, how far he goes into the game. I would think you want a minimum of 60 snaps. And if you got four preseason games, probably more like 75.
Yeah, that's exactly what Victor says. I like to see Caleb get about 60 snaps in the preseason. So, Victor and you are...
That's 15 snaps a game.
Okay. And, you know, and I one of the tell me if this is a big issue that Shane Waldron and the rest of the Bears offensive coaching staff has to figure out. How are you going to feed all of the talent, the starting talent that you have on offense, the three wide receivers, the two tight ends? You've got pass catching running back now and Swift. That's part of the things that are worked out in preseason games, isn't that?
Well, you froze there for a second. So you said, I think in a situation like that, you can't work. You got good people, and not everybody's going to get all the touches that you think they should get. So. Mm-hmm. You know, one game, DJ might catch seven or eight passes. Another game, it might be Keenan Allen who gets that many, or Cole Kmet. And I think it's going to change from game to game. And then you look at the situation, Odunze being a rookie and knowing that Waldron likes to go with 12 personnel at times, Odunze isn't going to get the play time that Allen and Moore get.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I've seen some people think that he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver's rookie. I don't see that.
I don't see that either.
Okay. And I know how good he is. And had you not had Keenan Allen, that may very well have been the case. But, you know, rookies, depending on the rookie, rookies are catching more balls now than they ever used to.
Yes.
You know, it used to be like the going. And part of the reason is that we've talked about this before in previous years. When a rookie came in, you had him learn all three positions. And that was very difficult. Now the coach is actually smart enough to say, no, we're going to put him at X. He's going to learn X. And that's where he's going to play. So now, you know, it just becomes a matter of, how up to speed he is at that one position, because Keenan Allen has had a lot of success playing as the slot. Mm-hmm. So does that mean when they're playing three wides that Odunze's the X, the Z receiver is DJ, and the slot receiver is Keenan? You know, that very well could be the case. But then who can, when you go to 12 formation or 12 personnel, then who comes out? I would think that's Odunze, and then you've got Keenan going out to the X. So, I mean, we're throwing darts at the ball. We're going to have to see, yeah, you know, exactly how it plays out. And are you going to see it in the preseason? No. Right. You know, that, and the offense, you know, terminology and stuff, very similar to what was here under Getsy. It's pretty much the same system. It's how they use that system, excuse me, and how they call the plays. So,
yeah.
But as far, you're going to see basic football in preseason.
Yeah, and McFact says a lot will depend on the type of offense Waldron deploys. No one knows. And he actually makes a really good point here, because I saw this discussed on ESPN, Greg. You know, Waldron is known to adapt the offense to the players that he has. He was very successful at Seattle with that. So now he comes into Chicago and he needs to determine, you know, how all these pieces that he has are going to be deployed. And we could see a lot less running than maybe he did at Seattle. We could see more running. Who knows what it is. There is a little bit of a mystery as to the type of offense he's going to run, simply because of the new personnel he'll be coaching.
Well, he doesn't have the stable of running backs. He didn't have it, rather, in Seattle that okay. He has here. Gotcha. So he's got more talent at that position. Waldron is a McVay disciple. So you're looking, and McVay is a Shanahan disciple. It's all offshoots of that same offense. It's how you employ that offense, you know, as far as your personnel groupings, how you're going to call your plays, etc. But I think the transition from Getsy's offense to this offense is going to be fairly simple, in that a lot of the terminology is the same. And so now it's just learning the plays. The hard part is for Odunze, because you got to learn a whole new offense right from scratch, and for Caleb, and more so for Caleb. In fact, there was a thing, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, with what the hell's his name, the quarterback on ESPN,
Orlovsky.
Yeah, he did a thing. It was on Twitter, and he pulled out, this is a playbook. And it's from like 2008, but it was Shanahan's playbook. And it's like this thick. And he said that, you know, now most of this is digitized. So it's right in the guy's computers. So, you know, and he went through it kind of step by step. And there's a shitload to learn now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to learn the formations. You got to learn all the terminology. And the quarterback's got to know what everybody's doing. And you can go back to the same thing. You got to know the protections. And that's why you don't want to have a rookie center in there.
Yeah.
Because now you got two people that don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, struggling in an offense. So you got to have, you got a veteran center. Excuse me. And that's going to help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have a rookie quarterback who, you know, he's already been here for a week, because you've seen him around town for a week. What's he? Yeah. Supposedly, he isn't supposed to be at Hallis Hall until yesterday. So I don't know what he was doing, but.
Yeah, I don't know either. Interesting. You know, before we get to more questions from the chat room, one of the questions that I had for you is, now that all of the rookies have arrived, there's some 40-some players at Halas Hall right now, rookies, undrafted free agents, veterans who have not signed a contract yet but are trying out for the team and so forth. But what I want to know from you, Greg, is have you ever – well, I know every scouting person, every general manager, every coach will look – from time to time will look at a player and say, wow, that's not the same guy we saw on tape. He's slower. He's not, you know, playing as well, whatever. And so I wanted to get your opinion on that. Based on your experiences, how quickly can a coaching staff, an evaluation team, see when now they're looking at the guy practice, can they determine, wow, we made a mistake in acquiring this guy?
You're talking draft choices, right?
Correct. Yes.
I'm gonna say that, and I don't know this for certain, maybe with Rome they didn't. They had private workouts with all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Emi Adeji's a local kid. They could have brought him into Halas Hall 10 times if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know they had the workout at the pro day with Caleb. The punter, I'm sure the special teams coach, you know, either took a drive over to Iowa City or a little – sure, I'd rather drive myself than take a little
yeah, I hear you.
A little commuter jet. And then there's Austin Booker, where you got to go out to Manhattan, Kansas. Not the easiest place to get to. You know, the best thing is fly to Kansas City and then drive, and it's a good 2-hour drive. I love Manhattan, Kansas, by the way. I've always had a good time. It's a great college town. But it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you know, it's a good 2.5 hours west of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So probably 2.5. And in between is Lawrence, where the University of Kansas is. So that, you know, I'm sure they went out there and did something with him too. So they could have done it. He's from the outskirts of Indianapolis. If he was out of school, they could have worked him out in Indianapolis. They didn't have to go to Kansas State. But I'm sure they did something. I mean, they traded a pick next year to get the guy, so they had to have a really good feeling for him. And they brought him in on a 30 visit. All these guys were, except the punter, were brought in on the punter might have been on the 30 visit schedule. Yeah.
All right, let's get to some of these questions. You know, you and I were talking about this player before we went live, and Berlissima brings him up in the chat room. He writes, I'm such a degenerate. I've been watching Tommy Sweeney, Boston College tape. Dude runs like a white Mercedes Lewis. Dude looks like a tank, but he has really soft hands. You mentioned him to me prior to the show as someone we should be keeping an eye on. Anything else you want to add about Thomas Sweeney?
And right now you got two tight ends. You got Komet and Everett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you got to get a third. And that third guy, in my opinion, has got to be a guy who can block. Got to be able to play that Y position. And so, you know, who's that going to be? Well, you signed a free agent from Kentucky in Brandon Bates, who caught all of 4 passes last year at Kentucky. Now he did catch 21 in the 2 previous years total.
Mm-hmm.
But from my understanding, he's really more of a blocking guy than a, even though he is a good athlete, but he's not big. He's 200. He was 246 at his pro day and ran a 4.66 or 4.67. Tommy Sweeney played for Buffalo, was drafted by Buffalo, played 4 years there. Then went to the Giants last year because the people in New York knew him. They all came from Buffalo. Didn't make their team. I think he had a non-football injury or something was the designation. But, you know, he's a backup wide tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty good in that role. But he's also 28 years old. So really it gets down to, first, he's got to show good this week. And if he shows good this week, they could possibly offer him a contract. He's going to get a veteran minimum. Or they're just going to say, no, he's not good enough to sign, and they're going to stay with this Bates kid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Levante says, today you'll hear more about the consummate relationship being forged between Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, and you'll have a player who becomes a Wild player. So that's not a question. It is a comment, and I appreciate that. I really do. How quickly do you think a relationship can happen between two rookies when you're having, when we're talking about quarterback and wide receiver? Can it happen instantaneously? These guys do seem to have a connection, at least from a friend standpoint.
Well, they have worked out together out on the West Coast.
Okay.
Prior to the draft. And Keenan Allen was part of that group too. So there is a relationship, but, and this weekend, could he be thrown to Rome more than any other guy? Probably. But then starting next week, they're working in the off-season program with the veterans. So now, and Caleb's number one. It's not like he's got to earn it. He's already been given it.
Yeah.
So he's got to not only work with Rome, he's got to work with Keenan, he's got to work with Kmet, DJ Moore, Swift, all these guys. So it's really forming a relationship with everybody, not just Roma Dunze.
Great question here from, excuse me, I got to sneeze. Excuse me, sorry. Thank you. Tim Richels, who is a Lions fan, he asked the questions, how many more off seasons before Brad Holmes and the Lions screw up their organization and we get back to normal? What do you think?
I don't think that's the way he worded his question.
Maybe it's a little different.
a lot of it's luck. You know, you get – 2 years ago, people were crying or yelling to get the head coach fired. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they win like the last six games of the season. And then they, you know, have a strong year last year. Who knows if that's going to continue?
Yeah.
You know, part of it's injury. I got to give Goff credit because I've never been a Goff fan, and I know why. Knowing some people for the Rams, I know why McVay just said hell with it and let him go. Mm-hmm. But the guy got Stafford isn't any better. Stafford got him a Super Bowl, but to me, neither one is in that elite category. But Goff has gotten better. Goff played probably the best football of his whole career last year.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, you got to give him credit when it's due. Can the Bears challenge him? Hell, the Bears challenged him last year in the games. Those were mm-hmm. close games.
Bears won one game.
Yeah, and they should have won both.
Exactly. They had a lead going into the fourth quarter.
You know, so and to answer that guy's question, how long? Not long.
There you go. All right, having a little fun with our Lions friends. Let's see.
People come on here.
You know what? I think they're afraid of you, Greg. I think they're terrified of you. Big Mo wants to know, are the Bears set at quarterback now, or are they going to bring in another vet? They've got Ripon in now, but it doesn't look to me like another veteran quarterback is coming.
No. No, they like the Bajent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, Poles likes Bajent, and last year's staff loved Bajent. You know, I don't know what Waldron and company feel about Bajent. He's probably still got to win them over. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't do then, yeah, then you could possibly go out and get a veteran, but a veteran quarterback's going to cost a lot of money. And as we already said earlier, money's a little tighter than you think. You can see, there's $22 million there. Well, no, there's not really, because the rookies are getting 12 of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, It is, you've got to manage this cap carefully. You cannot make the same mistakes that Ryan Pace made. And that's one of the reasons I trust in Ryan Poles. So hopefully he's made some good decisions with the personnel that he's acquired. The Bulls.
Repeat it, say somebody one link. There's some guys they can adjust their contracts to create cap space. And mm-hmm. has no effect really on – you can do it with Sweat. You can do it with Edmonds and some of these other guys. And just it's an accounting procedure, turns salary into bonus money, and it creates it makes no difference to the Bears in outgoing money, no difference to the player in what's going in his pocket. The difference is how it's accounted for. But if it's a player, but you only do that with players that you're counting on being here for a couple of years. If it's a bubble guy, you can't do that because then you're going to end up getting hit with the dead cap space when you got to get rid of the guy.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, that's the problem. We tackled half of this question from the Bulls about acquiring additional tight ends. Greg has said that a blocking inline tight end is necessary, so we'll look at some of these free agents that are coming in, and I'm sure they'll be looking at the waiver wire over the next couple of months. But what about the offensive line? Who do you think is going to start there? Is it fair to say it's Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins from left to right, Bates at center, Nate Davis at right guard, and Darnell Wright at right tackle? Do you see any surprise, potential surprises in that starting lineup?
The only other one would be the center from the Rams beating out Bates.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a couple Rams games. And he's a pretty good player, but you know, he's probably just at 300, 302. There's a couple times when, I mean, he's played good against some really big guys. One game I looked at was the Baltimore game, who's got a huge interior, and he more than held his own, but he'll give some ground and pass pro to these guys every once in a while. But what he's really good at and it's the offense is the same as we used to call them doodad blocks or combo blocks, but you can, you know, where he makes a contact with the guard and then goes out to the linebacker. He's really, really good at doing that. And so, you know, could he end up being the starter? Sure. And if he ends up being the starter, then Bates is a swing guy, you know? So Bates is making more money. Bates making $4 million. This guy's making $3 million. You know, but they're both going to be here. So it's just, you know, who's going to win the job? Who do they trust the most? He's got, what's his name? Shelton. He's got the experience in the offense because right. he played, you know, with the Rams for most of his career or all of his career.
Mm-hmm. All right, now these 43 prospects who arrived yesterday at Halas Hall, all five draft picks, 9 undrafted free agents, and 2 first-year Bears, as well as 23 unsigned rookies and 4 unsigned veterans. Those guys are coming in on a tryout basis and are hoping to earn a contract. This is from the Bears website. So yesterday they met with trainers. And so when they meet with the trainers, is that another full physical or is just kind of
a... A lot of these guys don't have medicals yet.
Okay.
Okay. Now that your draft choices all have had medicals.
Mm-hmm.
But all these other guys got to go, through the medical process. I know when we did it, we'd bring them in on Thursday. All the doctors would come in, and that's like the first thing. As soon as they got here, like starting like at 4 in the afternoon, we started physicals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had the orthopedic doctors there, the internists. They even had, you know, dentists and eye doctors there. I mean, they did a complete physical. So, then when they get done with that, they have dinner and then meetings. And then on the field stuff starts today.
So these meetings are basically talking about cultural things, or are they going over some playbook things so that they understand?
I would have think. Well, part of it is orientation,
mm-hmm.
first part of it, but then it's installation too, but more so this morning.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how Ryan and Flus do things versus how we did things, but you know, we had a lot of people in the organization at that first meeting. And, you know, so you put faces to names or names to faces and just, you know, introduce different people, you know, who's in the building, what they do, mm-hmm. et cetera. It's more important for the draft choices, obviously, because they're there. The tryout mm-hmm. guys, they got to impress. You know, I don't think you can see more than three or four max. I don't know what the roster stands right now. You can look at that and figure it out. But I'm going to say three or four max tryout guys could get a contract.
Do you recall in your experience, Greg, ever bringing in a guy for a tryout and you say, Mr. Angelo, we have to sign this guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some guys that really look pretty good. Let's sign this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember names offhand.
Yeah.
That happens. And you're inviting him for a reason. You got a decent grade on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, you didn't feel good enough to offer him a contract right after the draft, but you felt good enough. Let's get a look at him on the hoof and get him through this workout. Now there's a receiver here that mm-hmm. played at USC and then last season played at UNLV, who is a close friend of Caleb. So he's here on a favor.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But when you look at his pro day numbers, he ran 4.7.
That's John Jackson, right?
Yes. He ran 4.7 at the UN. I think he ran both at USC and UNLV pro days, but at one of those, he ran a 4.7, 4.71 to be exact, I think. So mm-hmm. I can't see them signing to a contract a guy who runs 4.7.
Yeah. You know, when you have these tryouts, is it safe to say that it's usually the skill position guys, the guys who run fast and can catch and so forth, that you want to take a longer look at? Isn't it hard for a guy to come in off the street and be, you know, start playing in the trenches at a professional level?
Well, it's real hard for the trench guys because you're only doing individual. You can't go one-on-one. Now, years ago, yeah, we I remember when I was with the Giants, so we had the rookie mini camp, and they had helmets on, but nothing else. And we did some one-on-one pass pro, and which is not even allowed anymore, but one-on-one pass pro and pass rush without pads on. And Lamar Leachman was the defensive line coach, who's one of the best defensive line coaches I've ever been around. You know, he had his guys riled up, and they were just literally kicking the shit out of the offensive line.
Yeah.
But you can't do that anymore. You know, so now it's athleticism. And, you know, size, athleticism, and how quickly they can pick things up.
What do you think, speaking about player safety, what do you think about the new rule that players, if they choose to, can wear these protective shells over their helmets? They look like turtle shells.
Let him out the door. See what he's brushing about.
Go right ahead. By the way, let's see. I got questions from about a half dozen people here. There's a few that I need to weed out because Greg has already addressed them. So, but if you've got more questions, send them in and we'll address them. Let's see if I got one in here. Nope. let's see. So I don't know if people in the chat room know what I'm talking about. I don't know if these shells have an official name, but they look like turtle shells. They go right over the helmet. They got an extra padding, and some players say that they really can't, you know, feel the impact.
They look awful.
They do look awful, man. So what do you think? Is this too much of a babying of the NFL, or do you bubble shells?
I think they're called. It's extra protection for concussions. Running backs and linemen, I think, have to wear them in practice. I don't know if everybody has to wear them, but I know linemen and running backs do.
Correct.
Maybe linebackers. I'm not sure about the receivers and the DBs.
Only if they want to.
Yeah. Will somebody do? Some may. But, you know, they got some new helmets this year. I think you're going to see the people see how they feel with these new helmets this year. And then if somebody feels he still needs added protection, maybe they will. But I think the percentage is going to be small.
Yeah. And it doesn't, Mo asks, will those shells have team colors and helmet logos? It doesn't appear like they will. Maybe team colors, but I don't think that there is really room to attach the logo of the team like the traditional helmets, like the one that I have back there. All right, some other questions here that I'd love for you to fill. We've got a question here about Austin Booker and whether you think that he may have come out too early and he would have been better off. Here it is. It's from Victor. Did Booker make a mistake by entering the draft this year and not waiting? What do you think?
You know, you can answer that yes or no. DJ, Daniel Jeremiah, really said it the best if you were watching day three of the draft on the NFL Network and not ESPN. You know, he said that nobody from Kansas thought he was going to come out. And I knew that too, that in December he was staying in school. And somewhere between December and January 15th, which was the declared date, he changed his mind. Could he have used another year of development? Yes. Then, as DJ said, had he stayed another year, at worst, he's going to be a second-round pick, and he might even be a first, you know, next year. That's the exact words that DJ said, but basically said the same thing. He said, so you're getting him a year earlier, and you're getting him a lot cheaper than he would have a year. So now you're developing him on your time, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But from his standpoint, you could say, well, if I stayed in school another year, you know, the difference between being a fifth round pick and, say, at worst, a second round pick is millions of dollars in signing bonus. You know, so that cost him money. But then, you know, you got the risk of being, you know, what if he got hurt? You know, you got to look at all parts of the equation. You got your mic turned off, Baldo.
Excuse me. At the beginning of the show, we talked about Yannick Ngakoue and the potential. You know, it's looking more and more like signs of him returning to the Chicago Bears. But have you given any thought to if Ngakoue chooses another team, because he's going to follow the money, have you given any thought as to other veteran defensive ends out there who could potentially be of interest to the Bears?
There are not very many out there. You look at there's less than a handful. You know, a lot of people bring up Emmanuel Ogba, who was cut earlier this year by the Dolphins. Ogba, at one time, he's 31 years old, at one time was a pretty good player. What I don't like is that when he got his big money in Miami, it's like he stopped playing. You didn't see the same player. Yeah. And so, you know, just looking at what Ryan Poles and what Flus want, that doesn't seem to fit into that situation. Could they try it? Sure. I mean, the guy was a legitimate player, legitimate edge player. I just think based on the way he's played the last couple of years that might not be. He got hurt one year, in the fairness. But still, it wasn't the player that we saw in Cleveland. He was a pretty good player in Cleveland. After that, I mean, there's the guy from the Jets. He's a real short arm guy. And we're talking 31-inch arms on a edge player. And you got a head coach that preaches length. So, I mean, those two don't go together.
Right.
Again, could they do it? Yeah, they could, but it's not what they want.
Tooch, who is the host of Weekend Sports Betting Tips, he wants to bet on the Bears over and under win total. So he's asking you, Greg, how many wins do you think the Bears get this season? Are you ready for a prediction yet, or you want to wait for the schedule to come out?
Oh, I want to know, wait for the schedule. And by the way, we're doing this today because we thought the schedule was coming out yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that was going to be. And by the way, we might vote because I'm going to have to hit you with it anyway. So mm-hmm. the schedule is coming out Wednesday.
Right.
Okay. Wednesday is my anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Yeah. 20 years. And then Thursday we got, I can do a show, but we got people. It's actually my mentor for doing smoked meats.
Oh, cool.
Used to be my neighbor. They moved out to Vegas. They're in town. So I'm doing a big brisket, which means I'm going to be getting up about 4 mm-hmm. after going out for my anniversary and start that thing. So, but once you get everything going, I have an hour to do it if you want to do it on the 26th.
Yeah, let's plan on doing that.
But, I'd like to see the Bears start with a game that's not quite as tough. Bill Zimmerman was just coming up with some ideas and thought that the Bears would get 5 primetime games, including the opening Monday night game at Washington.
Oh.
With the idea being that you got number 1 and number 2 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Both probably starting, and it's a coming home party for Caleb, being that he's from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. Will it happen? Yeah, that's up to the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing some work on the schedules to be ready for next week. And, I there's a lot of teams, because the Bears have a last place schedule. They finished in last place last season, so their schedule is fairly favorable from that standpoint, because they'll play.
The only thing I'm going to say about that is it's favorable based on last year, but we know how your team changes from year to year.
Exactly. For instance, you look at the Titans. They've made some improvements. They got a really solid offensive line. They've got offensive weapons. The only question mark is Will Levis. What are your thoughts about Will Levis entering his second year? The lefty, I think, threw for only 5 touchdowns, had 8 interceptions in the limited games that he started last season. Do you think that Will Levis could make that leap in his sophomore year?
Yeah, I think so. I've always been a Will Levis fan.
Me too.
He's a competitor. He's got the traits. Second year in the offense, they've mm-hmm. got some better people. Drafted another offensive lineman. I think he's going to take a jump. How much of a jump, that remains to be seen. But, they're going to have a chance.
All right, let's get back to some more questions. Michael Halitek over at Windy City End Zone says, are you aware of any Bears veterans that will show up on the field today? They can't until May 20th, right?
They're now they're in town taking part. In fact, today would be the last day of this week's off-season program. Off-season program runs Monday through Thursday. And then if a guy misses a day, you get paid for the week, but you got to be there like 3 out of the 4 days to get the money, or 4 out of 4. I forgot what the number is. Okay. But if a guy misses a day, Friday's a makeup day, especially at this time of the year for the conditioning part and the weightlifting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But and today's Friday, right? So Friday, yeah, the veterans aren't there today unless there's a guy doing makeup stuff. But none of the veterans, except for a couple guys that were on the practice squad, because of the rules, are allowed to take part in this camp. You're only allowed to take part in one mini camp unless you got a new coach, and then there's 2. Mm. And so, they can watch, but they can't do anything.
Okay. Yeah, because it's I'm looking at their schedule, offseason schedule. It's May 20th, the first OTAs, and that's when
the the difference with OTAs is that you can go offense versus defense. Mm-hmm. When you're in the offseason program, they're out on the field for over an hour a day, 4 days a week. But it's offense with the offense and defense with the defense. It's all install and stuff. You can't even do one-on-ones or seven-on-seven in those periods. But once you get to OTAs, then you can.
Bellissimo will say, hey, Aldo Panthers have made improvements. And he's got a bunch of emojis ending with hilarious emoji. Tooch wants to know, do you think that there's any chance that the Bears will do Hard Knocks this year? They are reportedly the most desirable team from NFL executives and HBO executives, NFL Films executives, because of their offseason acquisitions. But it's not looking like that's going to happen, is it?
I don't know. I mean, George is adamant, but there comes a time when you got to do it.
Yeah.
And so why not do it?
Kevin Warren might be more accepting of the idea of having those cameras running around.
I mean, you know, and George saying no, maybe George just being George to say no, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, and not really mean it. We're going to know soon enough. I mean, I don't know when they have to officially come out with who it's going to be.
But yeah, last year they waited, you know, really, really late into the summer to make that determination.
Those guys get, you know, what they actually film and what they hear and see is a lot more than what we see.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cut down a lot. And the Bears have a say in what actually gets shown.
Yeah. Yeah. Every NFL team has what is called in the business the final cut. Whatever we're going to see on television, on HBO, has been approved by the Bears communication team. And sometimes, you know, I was really surprised when the Lions were on a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, how they basically turned all their attention on this rivalry between the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. It seemed like they wanted more camera time than they wanted the cameras pointed at them more than on the players. And I thought that was a bad call on their part, but nonetheless, can't argue too much about what the Lions are doing. They're got a good one loss record. All right. Some more questions here. John O'Halloran says the Bears traded Khalil Mack for a second round pick. Do you see a quality edge who might be available for a trade for a second rounder later this season?
Not right now, but who knows what's going to be available later, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's way too early to tell. And part of that is going to be where does – generally, if it's going to be a guy who's in his contract year, and so now you're going to have to pay him, and do the Bears have – if you're going to give up a two, that means you're going to pay them. And do they have the money to pay them?
Right.
You know, so there's a lot that figures into that.
And Brian Burns, his name was brought up here by Thomas. You know, Burns is going to demand $20+ million.
Burns is with the Giants now.
Oh, that's right. He was traded, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's right. Well, you got a good memory.
He's with the Giants and got paid.
Good for him. What about this? You talked about this prospect a week ago, Kroma, the defensive end. Do you think what do you see in him? Is he just a kind of a developmental practice squad type player? Because that's what
I think. Practice, you know, I've watched a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he's more practice squad than make it. I think he's borderline.
Mm-hmm.
He does some good things. At James Madison last year, he played both inside and outside, and actually he had 10 sacks. The majority of his sacks came from playing inside as like a three technique, than outside. Now, you know, his pro day, got his pro day numbers here. He was 6'3.5", 274, ran a 4.77. Had a 31 and a half inch vertical jump and 10, I can't read my writing, 10 something long standing log jump, which is actually pretty good for a big guy. He's got some explosiveness to him. But I, you know, being he's a 1 year wonder in that, mm-hmm. you know, the year before at the same school, I think it was at Scant, he had one sack. So he went from 1 to 10. And just read his pro day numbers. Nobody touched him. 32 teams said no. You know, mm-hmm. so I think that. You know, looking at the guy who I think got a chance of making it is Randolph from Illinois, mm-hmm. who can play the one and has experience doing that at Illinois. He's got size. He's got the athleticism that they look for here. He's got a better chance than sticking. I can see Chroma being on the practice squad, maybe a borderline guy. Do they really want to have two rookie edges playing, you know, because they're going to have another. We know there's going to be another veteran. We just don't know who it's going to be.
Right.
And so that's Sweat, whoever this veteran's going to be, and Austin Booker. And mm-hmm. so then there's one more guy. And is that guy going to be another rookie? Is it going to be Walker, who can play inside and outside? You know, so I think when you just look at the numbers, there's Robinson who's still around, but Robinson kind of, in my opinion, like hit the wall. You didn't see it, that second year jump you didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe he has it in his third year, but he's got to do it in the offseason and in preseason to make the team. You know, his time to say that, oh, there's promise, there's potential. Well, that's past. Now he's got to show it.
Yeah.
But you totally go back and you look at, like, last year's tape. There's a couple guys in camp. One was a draft choice, you know, Gibson, who had a hell of a preseason. He had, like, 4 sacks in the preseason. And they cut his ass. You know, mm-hmm. so – it's part of it's who they want. Yeah, believe it or not, a lot of the roster in the coach's eyes and even the front office, it's already set going into camp. Mm-hmm. Now somebody, you know, it's like being the champ. And if you want to beat the champ, you better knock them out.
Yep. So
then somebody's got to really jump forward in training camp to beat out one of the guys they already got penciled in as being on the 53.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about tight ends earlier, and I know a lot of people have been asking you about Brendan Bates, the tight end who is in camp now out of Kentucky, 6'5", 24 years old, 255 pounds. Is this a legitimate guy who can compete for that inline tight end position?
Well, he's not really 6'5". He's 6'4 and 3/8", and he weighed 246 on his pro day.
Okay.
Here's and he ran good. 4.66, 10.2 standing long jump, 33.5 vertical. Here's the bad news. He caught 4 passes last year. And over the last 3 years, he's caught 25.
Mm-hmm.
So he's never been a big part of the Kentucky offense. He is an athlete. In all honesty, I haven't really studied him. But the guy whoever the third tight end is, has mm-hmm. got to be a guy who can block. He's got to be able to back up Komet at the Y.
Mm-hmm.
Komet can play as the move guy. So he's like your swing guy. And And Everett really isn't a bad blocker for a guy that's like 245, 250. He's not a bad blocker. So, but this guy, whoever the third guy is, has to be a blocker first. That's why, you know, Sweeney's got a chance, but he's also 28 years old. So he's got to prove that he's got something in his tank. And the same with this guy. But in fairness, I got to do some work on this guy because I haven't really watched a lot of tape. I looked up the numbers. When I saw four catches, I'm going, what? I mean, there was like two other tight ends that caught more balls than him for Kentucky last year. Yeah. Even though this guy started all but one game.
Well, man, I wish I had cameras at rookie camp today so we could take a look at some of these guys, but that's not to be. Another player that you've been asked a lot about in the chat room and I think on your X account is the offensive lineman from British Columbia, Theo Benedet, 305 pounds, about 6'7 or so. What are your thoughts on him?
I think he's a practice squad guy, and based on the amount of money they gave him, you know, he's going to be here. I don't think he's going to be on the squad. You know, Canadian college football is on par with like Division III football here.
Mm-hmm.
Not real strong. He's got size. Did I write that? Yeah, he was 6'0", 7'0", 295, ran a 5'1", 4". His jumps were really, really good. 34.5 vertical, 9'6", long jump. Now, here's the bad news. He's a 6'7 guy, and he's got 32-inch arms.
Oh!
It's like, wait a minute. It's like, you know, to play outside, that's way too short. Now, I'll say this, because I've said it before. That is the most screwed-up measurement that they do at pro days and stuff, because it you know, I could do it and get 33.5 out of that, and that guy got 32, and then you could do it and get 32.5. It's right. Making sure that it's done correctly. And it's from the AC joint to the tip of your middle fingers. You put, you know, extend your hand out like that. Mm-hmm. And there, it changes. There's guys whose combine number is 3/4 of an inch difference than either their pro day or the Senior Bowl or something.
Mm-hmm.
I trust the combine because they're very meticulous with how it's done. And the same person does it with all 325 people or whoever there was at the combine. So, you know, maybe this guy has longer arms than that, but 32 is a negative, especially for a tackle. Yeah. And he is a legit 6'7". So, you know, I think there's only a couple tackles playing in the league with less than 32-inch arm, less than 33-inch arms.
Right, right.
You know, so you want that, but, you know, just in fairness, that number, that 32, it's actually 32 1/8. That 32 1/8 could be off a little bit. Bears will probably measure it. They probably did last night when he came in. And, you know, they might have got a different measurement. But if it's really 32, you're going to be – when we get to camp, you're going to see him lining up at guard, not tackle.
Mm-hmm. A guy like that probably never reaches for his wallet. Can't reach his wallet. That's T-Rex category.
I think he's a practice squad guy because he's, you know, he's very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
But again, coming from Canadian college football, that's tough because it's like going to see my school play. You know,
you've talked a lot about J. Tyree Carter and his potential. Where do you think he is at? Is he at that career point where he's got to start proving it, or he becomes, you know, somebody headed towards the waiver wire?
You know, it's an interesting question because I thought at the beginning of last year when he had a play, you know, he had problems with Nate Davis. He had problems with Tevin Jenkins. And so he had a lineup and play, and he played pretty damn good. Something happened at the end of the season where he was in the doghouse. I assume, because he wasn't even dressing. He goes from a guy that was starting games and playing good to not dressing in the last few weeks.
Yeah, that was weird.
So what happened? Mm-hmm. So, and there's no change in the – well, there's a different assistant line coach, but Simo's still here. Coordinators is different. You know, where was the disconnect? Was it with Simo or was it with Getsy? You know, I don't know. The guy's talented as hell, and he's really athletic. You know, he might be the best athlete they have. I think we've talked about it before. This guy was a point guard in high school at 6'3", 250-something pounds, and got offers from D1 schools to be a point guard. So that gives you an idea how athletic he is for a big guy. Now he's, you know, 300. He was raw when he came here. He came from Southern University. But, you know, he held his own at the Senior Bowl. There's no question there's talent there. It's just, what's the missing thing that we don't know about that caused him to be inactive for the last few games? The only dress usually seven linemen plus the snapper on game day. So what was it that caused him to be in street clothes?
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's not a serious situation. He can come in and compete because he has shown a little bit of promise in a limited amount of time.
No question. I mean, I really, just from the way he played early in the season when he had to play shit, I thought he was playing pretty darn good.
Yep. Tooch, we talked about Wheeler earlier. Greg likes him a lot. He's got outstanding speed.
Yes, I think there's a not a little chance. I think there's a strong chance of him making the team.
Yeah.
As he makes the team, the guy's replacing is Khalil Herbert, in my opinion.
You know, and so who was it? I think it was Tim Willis, and I didn't save it. You know, Tim and a number of other people are wondering, what is it about Khalil Herbert that he gets crapped on so much when in so many games you look at the stat sheet, average 6 yards a carry, 7 yards a carry, and so forth. But why isn't he held in more esteem, higher esteem?
One-dimensional player.
And that's it, huh? He can't block. That's part of the problem.
that's part of it. And now he's going into his fourth year, his contract year, and he really hasn't gotten any better. There was a couple times last year where he just flat out missed.
Yeah.
You know, and on top of that, when you get into the passing game, he's not reliable as a receiver. So you're going to have Swift, who's a very good receiver, or Roshan in there, who's also pretty darn good receiver, before you're going to have Herbert. So to me, especially, you know, given that it's his contract year, he could be trade bait. And you're going to get something for him because of his production as a runner.
Got a question here from Larry T. He wants to know about Cameron Stutz, the guard out of Auburn. He says he heard that the Bears gave him quite a bit of money to sign as a UDFA.
I don't think he was signed. He's a tryout guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, it says on Instagram here, the Bears have signed 6'5" Cameron Stutz. Yeah, he did sign.
Oh, he did sign. Okay. Yeah. I don't know him. I got to take a look.
2-year starter at Auburn. Wait a minute. He will also attend the Ravens rookie minicamp?
Unless they just signed him today, he was a tryout guy.
Yeah, it's funny because this is dated a week ago, and he's at Hallis Hall, and he's pointing to a pin on his lapel from his suit. Saying that he is signed, but how could he sign and also go to the Ravens minicamp?
He can't if he's under contract.
Yeah, that's.
So let me just find one thing in here.
Yeah, can anyone in the?
Because I got the list here of.
Nomad posted something.
He's a rookie
about
tryout.
Rookie tryout. Okay.
According to the sheet passed out yesterday.
Okay. Well, and that was very up to date, a very detailed list on all of the players at rookie minicamp today and tomorrow. Couple other questions here, and then we'll call it a show. Got the Stutz one out of the way. Let's see. Have you seen? Oh, we talked about Benedict.
Yes.
the small arms. TJ just Johnson just asked, wondering if we could try converting Colin Johnson to a tight end. He seems to be low. But he's 6 foot six, 220 pounds. You think he just would need to add 40 pounds?
Yeah, I mean, he's a wideout. And actually got a chance to play late in the year. They had to bring him up.
Yeah.
He had a few catches. They wanted him back. Hey, there's guys they turned down to keep him around.
Yeah. You know,
so that says up. But no, he's not a tight end.
Mm-hmm. I like his moxie as a player. When he got in there, he played really, really at a high level, meaning high octane level is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So, all right. A couple of other guys. Is there any should we be paying attention to this quarterback that they signed, Austin Reed?
You know, he's not bad. I thought he was draftable.
6'1".
He's competing for the third spot with the veteran they signed a few weeks ago.
Rippon,
right. And, you know, whether it's him. In fact, I did him for the agents I worked for. I did him during the summer. And I thought he was like a fourth to fifth round pick. Now, he's not as tall as I thought. He's only 6'1".
Right.
That's what Caleb is. He's got pretty good arm strength, decent athlete. But now you're going to have it's not like Rippon has played. It's, you know, I guess you're looking at upside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Rippon, you know. So who's got more upside? Rippon has played in the league a little bit. But is that going to matter? When you're number three, it's the talent.
We've been asked, hey, there's Evie. I got her name correct this time. Evie. I was about to mispronounce it again for the 15,000th time. Somebody's asked about the safety position, and I'm glad this CJ Williams here is safety prospects in this UDFA class. I am a little concerned about the depth at the safety position. Now, the only guy I see on this list is Douglas Coleman III. He actually played with the Broncos in 2020, then went to the Canadian Football League for 2 years, and now is with the Bears. He is 25 years old, 6'1", 200 pounds. Do you know anything about Coleman?
No, but you got a guy who was a part-time starter for Green Bay who they signed in free agency. And
oh yeah,
you got right. You signed two guys.
Yeah.
And you got Prisco, and then you got the guy who was a draft choice last year, 2 years ago rather.
Hicks.
Yeah, you have to have four.
Right.
You know, with the two that they signed, and the guy today is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
His wife's a gymnast, so he's
yeah, Bilal, not Bilal, what am I saying? Oh gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue. She's the greatest gymnast in the world.
Yeah.
Who is it? The chat room, help me out.
She makes more money than him.
And yeah, she makes a lot more. And now she's a Bears fan too. So
yeah. And so, she was a Packers fan. So
yeah. So yeah, I forgot they signed him. He's an excellent special teams player.
He's a good player too.
Yeah,
he's a strong safety type. He can come down and play the nickel linebacker in some of your sub packages. No, he's a good player. I don't think, you know, a lot of fans don't realize some of these names and they haven't heard about that. It's not the splash name, but you look at the amount of play time he had and where he played, you say, yeah, he's pretty good. And they gave him some decent money too. It's not like, you know, he got better minimum. He got some cash.
Yeah. Simone Biles is the official name, one of the greatest.
Mr. Biles is his name.
That's right. We don't know his name, but we know her name. All right. I think I got most of the questions here. Let's see. Tyler Scott, we talked about. Ian Wheeler. We got them all. Greg, so next week, what do you want to do? We're doing it. We picked a date, didn't we?
Thursday. Maybe a zombie, but we're doing Thursday.
Sounds good. You will be a zombie, but we'll have lots to talk about with the schedule release. And you and I both agree would love to start with a team like the Panthers or they got some teams. As you said, they made some improvements from last season, so you can't really look at it as a last place.
That would be a good way to start too, because now you got number one last year versus number one this year.
Yeah, exactly. And as Zimmerman said, the Commanders could be a potential opening day game on Monday Night Football. That would be fun. You're thinking that the league is going to put them on a maximum allowable five times.
I don't know. Everybody says they're going to get the five times. Mm-hmm. And Chicago generally gets a – even when the Bears stink, they always get three or four. Yes. Because the ratings are good. Exactly. So, yeah, they'll probably get the five. It's what five? I'll be honest with you. I hate those Thursday nights. Zimmerman also thought they'd be playing in Detroit on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I hate Thursday games. I think it's a disservice to the player.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if I could go the whole season without a Thursday night game, I'd love it.
Yeah. And I think it's also a disservice, Greg, to the fan who enjoys watching quality football. You know, these players are just not ready to go out there and hit at a high level after after playing a game on Sunday. That's just ridiculous. But they have been making some clever changes.
How about this year? They're going to play games on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or whatever. It's Wednesday. There's going to be some teams with 2 days freaking rest playing a game.
Yeah.
Now, I would think that because there's some Saturday games in December, mm-hmm. that the team that plays then is going to be play Saturday the week before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bellissimo says Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football are awful in the UK. Yeah, I bet they are, because it's probably playing at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. Your time. So not a good situation. Well, Greg, another great show. Thanks very much for spending the hour and 32 minutes and 33 seconds with us. And we will do this again next week. How about it?
Yes, we will. And we'll have something really good to talk about with the schedule.
Can't wait.
You know, everybody can, there's going to be some people who like it and some people are going to be pissing and moaning. I would think that their bye week is going to be the week after they go to London.
Yeah. Bellissimo just said that the Panthers could be the London games. I don't know about that.
They've had a couple good games recently, but the people in London who were part of putting this on, they want some good matchups.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Jacksonville plays one game in London,
mm-hmm.
And plays two games over there every year. Last year, they did not take the – or not one game every year. Last year, they did not do the bye after. They said, no, we'll play. You know, which mm-hmm. is – it's tough because you got that travel right after the game back, you know, to the States.
Right.
I would hope that they have the bye the next week. But, I mean, it's only one time, and that was last year with Jacksonville, that that team hasn't had a bye.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they playing? Oh, we don't know who they're playing.
No. The Jaguars are playing at a different stadium. The Bears are at Tottenham, and I think the Jaguars are at Wembley or wherever. So they're not going to play each other.
I have a friend who is a Bills season ticket holder, and last year the Bills played in Tottenham last year.
Mm-hmm,
so he went to that game. Not like Tottenham is in downtown London. He said it's a good hour out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes, the stadium was gorgeous.
Yes.
The seating was gorgeous. And actually, the new stadium in Buffalo is designed by the same people and is going to be very similar. It's going to be almost the mirror image of the Tottenham Stadium, the one they're building in Buffalo. But he said, transportation-wise, it was a nightmare getting to and from that game.
Hmm. Yeah, I've heard some of the same stories. So we'll, my wife and I have been thinking about going, so but we have to see where it lands on the schedules here. Bellissimo says the Jags play Wembley in week 7. I was told it could be Jags 2 weeks in London. 2 weeks in London? Oh, wow. He goes on to say week 6 away for the Bears and 7 at Wembley to whoever. I get it. So week 6 perhaps for the Chicago Bears and then the Wembley game with the Jaguars versus whoever. So
and part of the thing with that game too, we'll talk about this, is when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're going, what is it, from the East Coast to London, 7-8 hours?
Yeah, 7-8 hours, yes.
I took that flight once. I don't remember how long it was. Because that was a long time ago. But you obviously got, you know, some problems with the travel. It's when do you leave? Now, some teams mm-hmm. have left, you know, you play on Sunday, and then some teams are like, let's leave Tuesday and spend all week in there. Other teams right. have gone Friday. And I know Buffalo went Thursday and they thought they weren't there long enough.
Right. Yeah. When the Bears played the Raiders in London, John Gruden took the team right after the Sunday game. They basically boarded a plane. They were there the entire week, and the Bears chose to fly out on a Thursday or Friday, and boy, the Raiders outclassed the Bears. And the Bears didn't have Roquan Smith because he had that mysterious missing in action issue. But, yeah, I think you got to give the players time to get acclimated to the new time zone. So hopefully they'll make the right decision this time.
Yeah.
Well, all right, everybody.
That'll be up to flus and polls.
Yes, indeed. And I'm sure Kevin Warren's going to weigh in too because he's watching those pennies very closely. That's it for this episode of GTF. I know a lot of people joined us in the middle because they didn't expect us to start so early, but we're available on demand and we'll be on audio podcast very shortly. I'm going to post it immediately after this. Thank you, Greg. Well, and we'll see you next week, brother.
See you next week. We'll be right back.